Reading is Jeremiah chapter 18. So please turn with me to Jeremiah 18. Verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then will I repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will walk everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. They have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then said they, Come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee, and deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we've been advertising that we're going to get to Jeremiah 18. We're going to get to Jeremiah 18 now for several weeks. Now you see why we were so much looking forward to getting to Jeremiah 18. Because these first 19 or so chapters of Jeremiah are hard chapters. Just when you think the Lord has stated it in terms that are unbearable, the next chapter's worse. He's been saying things like, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to cast you out of my sight. The sin of Judah is written, that we heard earlier today, with an iron pen, with a diamond tip. It cannot be overthrown, and so on. So now what do we hear in chapter 18? Chapter 18 is a most remarkable passage. And there are several things about it that are liable to be misunderstood, so we have to be careful as we read through it. We don't want to fall prey to a misunderstanding of how the Lord is presenting Himself here. If you read Jeremiah 18, the first portion down through verse 10, and you read it if you read it like it was the only passage in Scripture, that there weren't other Scriptures to inform it, if you read it apart from what we call the analogy of faith or the analogy of Scripture, what you're going to hear is a God capricious. You're going to hear a God who changes His mind. Well, I said I was going to destroy them, but look at that. They've done something different. So now I guess I'm going to have to save them instead. Oh, look, I said I was going to save them. They did something I didn't expect. They turned evil, so I'll do evil to them. That's what it looks like on a cursory and bare reading of it if you read it without the rest of the Bible. But hopefully by now you guys understand that we're never supposed to read any passage like that. We're not supposed to read any passage in absolute isolation from the rest of Scripture. The whole of Scripture is written by God Himself through His immediate prophets and apostles and so on. But it's written by one author. And so we ought to expect then that there is an agreement, that there is an understanding, that we can come to a passage like this and not be shaken in our boots because it seems something different from how the Lord reveals Himself everywhere else in Scripture or in many other places in Scripture. So, let's remember what the Lord is saying here. The Lord has for 17 chapters now spoken with great threatening against His covenant people. And He said He's going to destroy them. Just after this section, in verses 11 through 17, He speaks to them about judgment. He sends Jeremiah to them one more time, as it were. So these few verses then in 18, 1 through 10, teach us that God has a method, a means. There's a reason why God announces judgment to some people. Not all. Some of the pronouncements of judgment that God makes will come to pass, but others of them will not. Can I give you one great example? Most of you are probably already thinking of, right? We mentioned earlier today, we were talking about the psalm title, and we mentioned a prophet named Jonah. You remember Jonah? Jonah went to Nineveh, except he didn't go at first to Nineveh. He didn't want those unwashed Gentiles to repent. He didn't want them to hear the word of the Lord. He wanted them to perish. He had a hateful heart toward the Ninevites. Well, they may have earned that reputation. That's aside. So, the Lord sends him to Nineveh. Instead, he goes to Joppa, and he goes on a long and extended swimming trip into the bottom of the ocean, and he's picked up by a fish, not to judge him, but to save him. Actually, the fish is of the same vein as the Ark of Noah. That's what saves him from the water, right? And then the fish coughs him up on land, and then Jonah goes to Nineveh after all, and that's where we begin in chapter 3. And in chapter 3 of that 4-chapter prophecy, there's the preaching of Jonah. Some of you wish your own pastor would preach as briefly as Jonah preached, right? 40 days and then the judgment. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's his sermon. That's it. And what did they do in Nineveh? They began to weep and wail and to mourn for their sins. The king of Nineveh, which would have been the king of Assyria, what does he do? He commands that sackcloth, itchy cloth, be put on the beasts, that they also fast with the rest of the city. And I think Calvin is right when he says that in the lowing of their animals, they would be reminded of their own hunger and their own sinfulness. And they wept before God, and the Lord did not destroy them. And Jonah was hopping mad about it. You remember all that. Is God, or let's say it this way, is Jonah a false prophet? Because he said 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, and it was not? He's not a false prophet. No, we want to understand Jonah's preaching and Nineveh's response in the light of Jeremiah 18. At what instance I shall say to a people, I'm going to destroy you. If they turn from their wicked way, I will not destroy them. Sometimes the Lord sends a word of destruction to a people to cause them to repent. Now, can you imagine what a comfort this would have been to those of Judah who have had the preaching of Jeremiah now for 17 chapters, judgment with a capital J. Unrelenting. It's going to come. You won't be able to escape. So, what? Turn from your wicked way. Turn to the Lord. Well, the Lord says, if they turn, then I will turn me. That's what repent means. I will turn me from what I advertised that I would do to them. Now, the Lord knows the end from the beginning. He knows which preaching will be effective, which preaching He's going to send His Spirit to accompany, and so it will have its effectiveness, and which one will not. The Lord already knows all of that. We're looking at the other side of the tapestry. We don't know how it works, but the Lord knows. Then there are some people that the Lord said, I will bless you, and they become fat, happy, complacent, and presumptuous, and sin against the Lord. Well, you know, the Lord said He was going to bless us, so we have a gravy train with biscuit wheels. We're golden. We can't be taken off of that way to heaven. And the Lord says, what? If they turn from me and they begin to do evil, even though I said I would bless them, I will do them evil instead. So this is what Patrick Fairbairn calls the moral interpretation of prophecy. And it should have been of great comfort to the people of God of that age. But they had a horrible reaction instead. And that's what's so remarkable about 18 here, the chapter 18, is they had a horrible reaction instead of a comforted reaction. Look at what it says in verse 11. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, devise a device against you. Return now, everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope. They didn't even hear what Jeremiah said. Because if anything is true about this passage, it is that Jeremiah held hope out to them. But may I say it this way, brothers and sisters? They were so married to their sins that they refused to give them up. And so in that light, they said, there is no hope, but we will go on and walk after the evil imaginations of our heart. What an amazing passage this is. How interesting, how much it draws us in to see the grace and mercy of the Lord, even to His people that have sinned against Him, worshipped other gods, killed their own children in service to other gods. They have done all of those things, and yet the Lord holds out to them the possibility of repentance in the preaching of Jeremiah. And yet they say, there is no hope. May I say, my dear brothers and sisters, that is a lie. There is hope. There is hope. What is it that Jesus says in the parable? He sends out His ministers into the highways and byways, and He says, bring in all of those who were bidden to the feast. And then what does He say? Remember these words? There is yet room. There is hope. There is a place at the table of the King. There is a place there. Turn from your wicked ways. This is the word of the King. Turn from your wicked ways. Don't say, there is no hope. Let not the eunuch say, I am a dry tree, as Jeremiah will say. Rather, what? Thus saith the Lord to those eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and obey my commandments, I will give you a name better than sons and daughters. Don't say, there's no hope. I don't believe it, and neither should you. While there is breath, there is hope. So, dear brothers and sisters, don't say there's no hope. Don't give up. Call upon the name of the Lord. So then, the Lord asks a couple of questions through some rhetorical flair in 13 and 14. Ask me now among the heathen who hath heard such things, the virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Look at verse 14. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? The cold flowing waters, what does that mean in their day? They didn't go over to the fridge and pull a sparkling water out. They couldn't do that. Right? To get a ice cold cup of water, that refreshing thing that we take so very much for granted, they traveled far to do that. And it was a price thing. It was a very precious thing. And so the Lord says, you've turned away from me that cold draft of water. And for what? Because my people have forgotten me. They've burned incense to vanity. They've caused them to stumble their ways from ancient paths, to walk in a way not cast up. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. So Jeremiah has preached a word of comfort. Then he's preached a word of judgment. But still with that word of comfort echoing in their hearing. And how did they respond? That's verse 18 to the end of the chapter. Then they said, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. He's spoken mean to us. That's how they... Because they didn't hear the word of mercy. They didn't hear the word of comfort. You know what they wanted to hear, right? They wanted to hear, go on and keep doing what you're doing. Build up your idol houses. Worship on every green tree and every high hill. Kill your children to the sun and sacrifice them to the sun, and the Lord will bless you. That's what they wanted to hear. But because Jeremiah told them the truth, instead what they heard was Jeremiah speaking mean to us. And so they began speaking against Jeremiah to do him harm because he told them the truth from the Lord. Jeremiah spoke the words of the Lord's love and care to them, and they responded to Jeremiah by talking and plotting evil against him. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. Jeremiah says two things. I have stood as an intercessor from thee to them, speaking to them the truth of what thou hast told me to preach. And then also I have spoken unto thee on their behalf. And for that they seek to kill me. And so it is at that point then, as they have rejected not Jeremiah personally, but the word of the Lord and hardened themselves in their sins, that the imprecations of the last few verses come to pass. Because they have made themselves God's enemies. They have refused the word of the Lord. That's the definition, by the way, of what it means to be God's enemy, to refuse the word of the Lord. Thus ends the reading then of Jeremiah chapter 18.